if you are around people at all, right? Like physically around people. You're walking down sidewalks, you're in an office space, you're in a house with multiple people in it. Eventually, you're going to physically step on someone's toes, right? Not intentionally, but it's just going to happen, right? If you're going down a busy sidewalk in downtown Traverse City, you're going to get stepped on, someone's going to step on you, you're going to step on them. It just happens, not on purpose, just on accident. It's just the reality of being in close proximity with other people. The same is true for our interrelationships that we have with other people. If you live in proximity with other individuals, you go to school with them, you live in the same house, you live in the same neighborhood, you have coworkers, eventually you are going to unintentionally hurt someone. You're going to cause unintentional hurt. It doesn't mean that you mean to, you're not malicious about it, but you're going to hurt someone when you didn't mean to do it. It's just a part of human reality. So, for example, maybe you call out sick because you're sick or your kid is sick, and it happens on a day when there's something majorly important going on at work, right? They're doing inventory. Ugh. Anyone who's done, anyone do inventory before? Oh, it's just... Ugh. They're doing inventory, right? They're doing inventory. There's a big meeting, right? And you call out sick and you can't help it, right? You can't talk or your kid is really sick, that you no other options. You have to call out sick. You're going to hurt someone. Someone's going to be hurt by that. Someone's probably going to be frustrated by that, right? Of course it is. That's the reality of interpersonal relationships. You tell someone that you're going to give them a call, and you say that with every good intention to call them, and then you know what? It just slips your mind because you're human and fallible, and you don't call them, and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then it's like, oh, they never called. They must not care about me, which isn't true, but it feels that way. It hurts. It hurts. I'm sure I've hurt a number of you that way before. I'm sorry. You've got, my favorite, my kids. I try and train them not to do this, but it's like, hey, would you come over here right now? Right? Like, I can't understand the difference, but like, and there's 1,000 things going on, right? And when someone says, Bush says, right? There's almost virtually no difference between and right? I need a yes or a no. And it's like, is my hearing going, right? What's happening here? And that doesn't happen at the home. It happens elsewhere too, right? If you heard a when they meant to say right? Now that causes problems. You said you were going to do that. No, I said I wasn't going to do that. Oh, unintentional hurt, unintentional pain. Sometimes it's a little more serious, right? If you have to go and confront someone because of the junky work that they've done or the quality of work that they've done, and you have to say, hey, this isn't good enough, you have to go do it again, right? You don't want to hurt them. You go with as much grace and mercy as you can, but that causes hurt. Or even deeper, sometimes you have to confront people because of their sin, because of something wrong that they did or continue to do, and that really hurts, because I'm convinced that Satan has totally convinced us and deceived us into thinking that our sin is a fundamental part of who we are. And so when someone says, you have sinned, you have done wrong, it feels like a personal attack, because sin is so latched onto us that it feels like a personal attack. If you've ever been confronted about a sin you've actually done, you know that it hurts. And if you've ever had to even lovingly confront someone with one of their sins, you know that you don't want to do it because you know it's going to hurt. There's all matters of time and opportunity in our lives where we can cause unintentional hurt to people. What should we do? What should we believers do when we unintentionally hurt people? So as we continue our journey through 2 Corinthians, we're going to have to skip around just a little bit here, because you have to realize that Paul is writing this personal letter to the church in Corinth. They already know the context of what's going on. We don't. We're reading somebody else's mail here, okay? So in order to understand this text, we got to jump ahead a little bit so that we can understand what actually happened. So jump ahead to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "In fact, I made up my mind about this. I would not come to you on another painful visit. For if I cause you pain, then who will cheer me other than the one being hurt by me? I wrote this very thing so that when I came, I wouldn't have pain from those who ought to give me joy, because I am confident about all of you that my joy will also be yours. For I wrote to you with many tears out of an extremely troubled and anguished heart, not to cause you pain. So what Paul's referring to here, he wrote the letter 1 Corinthians, which we're all familiar with, and scholars debate on whether Paul actually wrote four letters to the Corinthians, which the text seems to indicate that, or if he only wrote two and he's referring to a part of, say, 1 Corinthians 10 through 13 here. I tend to think that after 1 Corinthians, Paul went for a visit, things went well, he left, wrote them, and then things fell apart, and he wrote them another letter to rebuke them for their sin, not out of hate, not out of anger, but because he loved them. And he needed to set the record straight of what was going on. And it was not received well. Instead of them being convicted and saying, oh, this is awful, we should stop this right now, what happened? They got angry. They felt hurt. Paul hates us. Paul doesn't want anything to do with us. Maybe Paul doesn't even think we're Christians anymore. Maybe he wishes he never even planted this church here in Corinth. It caused unintentional hurt. And so Paul, he's writing to them, and he had intended to come on a visit, but he decided not to because he says, my presence there is just going to cause you more hurt, and I don't want to cause you hurt. I love you. I didn't mean to cause you pain. What should we do as Christians when we cause unintentional hurt? Okay, so now we can back up, and we can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And see what Paul did when we unintentionally cause hurt to someone. Verse 12 says, indeed, this is our boast. The testimony of our conscience is what we have. Conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you, with godly sincerity and purity, not by human wisdom, but by God's grace. For we are writing nothing to you other than what you can read and also understand. So he said, hey, everything I've written to you is plain English. It's understandable. I'm not trying to hide my intentions. I hope you will understand completely, just as you have partially understood us, that we are your reason for pride, just as you also are ours in the day of our Lord. So when Jesus comes back is what he's saying, we have pride in each other because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We walk with each other. Verse 15, because of this confidence, I plan to come to you first so that you could have a second benefit, so we could be encouraged by each other, and to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and then come to you again from Macedonia, and be helped by you on my journey to Judea. Now, when I planned this, was I of two minds? So he had said, I'm going to come to you, and then he didn't. Or what I planned, do I plan in a purely human way, so that I can say yes, yes, and no, no, at the same time? As God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, did not become yes and no. On the contrary, in him it is always yes. For every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. Now it is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ and who has anointed us. He has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. I call on God as a witness on my life that it was to spare you that I did not come to Corinth. I did not mean that we lord it over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy because you stand firm in your faith. So, as we saw in chapter 2, we find out the issue. He wrote him a letter. Didn't intend to cause them hurt. It hurt them deeply. And now, what we see the first thing he does is he explains his good intentions. When we unintentionally hurt other people, what do? We do what Paul does. You go back and you explain your good intentions, right? And now they're saying, hey, you didn't even bother coming, Paul. And Paul's saying, look, the reason I didn't come is because it was going to cause more pain in the moment. So I decided not to do that, even though I said yes. And when I say yes, I mean yes. And when I say no, I mean no. And in this case, I changed my mind because it was going to cause you pain. I said yes, I was going to come so that I could bring you joy. I didn't say yes, I'm going to come to bring you pain. That's why I didn't come. right? When God says yes, he means yes. When God says no, he means no. And that's the same true with me. But he says, in the beginning of this text, he says, my conscience is pure. We didn't intend to hurt you. We didn't intend to harm you. We speak plainly. We're not duplicitous. We don't say one thing and mean another. My conscience is pure. When we reached out to you with that letter, we meant it with a pure, sincere heart because you are our pride and joy in this world and in the life beyond because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So, when we unintentionally hurt each other, the first thing Paul does here is he explains his good intentions. There was no sin on Paul's part. He wasn't trying to crush them. He wasn't trying to destroy them. He wasn't speaking double-mindedness. He didn't lie to them. He says, I had good intentions, and I wanted you. I was trying to help you. I didn't mean to hurt you. So you have to explain your good intentions. Otherwise, you know, people are going to think the absolute worst for you. For example, years ago, in our house, we inherited a Samsung dishwasher. And you know, being good husband I am, I was loading up the dishwasher one Saturday afternoon, turned the dishwasher on, get that going, start working on something else. And then the next thing I know is like there's this weird smell in the house. And then there is like this smoke in the house. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on, right? And it turns out it was the dishwasher decided to start smoking, right? Terrible habit, dishwasher, how dare you? So the dishwasher started smoking and I turned it off and everything, but as soon as I got it off, right, and I kind of creaked it open and smoke's coming out and the family comes in the room, they're like, and they're angry actually because they see me with all this smoke going on. They're like, what are you doing? Why'd you do this? What's going on? House stinks, oh! Like everyone's angry at me, and I'm like, whoa, okay. I was like, I started a load of dishes and then the dishwasher began smoking. It like caught on fire or something. I don't know. And then as soon as I did that, they were like, oh, okay, all right. I don't know what they thought I was doing in there or what I normally do in the kitchen that starts, but they were all angry at me. And then I said, no, I was trying to do dishes. Oh, okay, all right, we don't want to do dishes, so we'll leave you to it. Right, but that's kind of the image Paul's giving us here, or what happened in this personal letter is they came in angry and frustrated. He said, no, I didn't mean to hurt you. This was completely unintentional. He says, the testimony of our conscience is what we have conducted ourselves in the world, especially towards you, with godly sincerity and purity, not by human wisdom, but by God's grace. We meant to do good, not harm. Another time, I remember Kristen and I, when we were dating a million years ago, it feels like almost 20 years ago now, right? Wow. About 20 years ago when we were dating, I would visit Kristen down in Staten Island where she lived, and I don't know the roads. I'm like from upstate New York, city or country guy. She's the city gal. So I would be driving, of course, because that makes sense, and she would be directing me on where to go. And so as we're driving around, she's like, oh, turn right here. So I turn and I go in and it's a one-way street and there's another car coming down towards us. And I'm like, what are you doing? All frustrated. And of course, like it used to not be a one-way street, but at some point when she was up at college, they changed it to a one-way street. So she didn't mean any malice. She wasn't like, this is how I kill my boyfriend. Whoa, you could just break up, right? That's cool. That's valid. Right, but there was no malice on her part. It was just, I was like, no, I thought we were going to go through here. They turned it into a one-way street. There wasn't a sign that said that, and that's the end of the story. There was pure intentions. I wasn't trying to destroy your car. I wasn't trying to break up with you. This is just what happened. Okay, all right, I get it. That's what Paul says we need to do as Christians when we unintentionally hurt people. We need to go and explain. Look, this is what I was trying to do. This is what I was trying to do. I have to tell you what was going on. Now, some of you are probably here like, okay, well, if I didn't do anything wrong, because we're not talking about if you sinned against someone, if you just unintentionally hurt someone, if I didn't do anything wrong, why do I even have to say anything, right? That's on them. That's not on me. Yeah, but the reality is, guys, is that we are such flawed, limited human beings. We have no clue how anything is going to be received by another person. You can't know the end of all things. Sometimes you might make an offhand comment. You didn't realize they lost a loved one recently, right? We just say and do things that are mindless and we don't know what the other person's going through. We just need to be able to clear the air. Furthermore, I mean, if you have sinned against another person, that's not what we're talking about today, but if you have sinned against another person, Christians, we need to be the first person to actually apologize, right? And I feel like that feeling of like, why should I have to do anything? Well, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus reached down to us in our helplessness. He came to us in our helplessness. He didn't say, oh, you guys got to come up here. We sang about it in the song, actually. You guys got to come over here, right? Like, come on up to me. No, God came down to us. So even if it's sinful, we've got to go and apologize. But more so, even if it's unintentional, we should be like Jesus and reach out to people. Maybe you haven't done anything wrong, but you still need to reach out to people when you've hurt them. We just have to do it. So when we unintentionally hurt people, we have to explain to them our good intentions. But that's the first thing that we have to do. And actually, that's the least important thing. The most important thing we have to do is the hardest thing, in which honestly was absolutely the most convicting for me and really difficult as I was working through this text this week. Look what Paul does. It's a short verse. But after he explains his good intentions, he gets to the real heart of the matter in chapter 2, verse 4. For I wrote to you with many tears, out of an extremely troubled and anguished heart, not to cause you pain. Right? So just imagine this. Have you ever written a letter where you are just, your hand is shaking? Maybe it's an email, maybe it's a text. You know, your hand is shaking, you have tears coming down your eyes. That's what he's saying. I wrote you, I was anguished for you. I was crying. It was a tearful letter. I wrote to you with many tears out of an extremely troubled and anguished heart, not to cause you pain, but that you should know the abundant love I have for you. Wow. So it's not enough to just say, hey, I didn't mean anything wrong. I had good intentions, right? It's not enough to say that. It's not enough to just clear the air. More importantly for Paul, he affirmed his love for them. I loved you when I wrote that letter. I loved you when I did that thing. And I love you right now. When we unintentionally hurt people, we need to affirm our love for them. That's hard. Because I didn't do anything wrong. You should be telling me how much you love me. We need to affirm our love. Think about it like this. How many of you have pets? Anyone have pets? Pets, yeah? You like your pet? How many of you have pets you like? Anyone have pets you don't like? A few? Yeah, a handful. Oh, okay, more numbers than I thought. Okay. This isn't for you. For those of you who like your pets, right, what happens if you accidentally step on your dog or cat? What happens? Right. Right? It's insane what we do, right? You're like accidentally step on the cat, you accidentally kick the dog, you didn't know they were there, and you're like, oh, right? And they go meowing or barking or yelping off and running away from you. You're like, no, I'm sorry. Like, we become like these children creatures. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, are you okay? Oh, no, it's okay, right? And they're still like, oh, I don't know. And you're like, oh, I'll get a treat for you, right? So you go, oh, get a treat. So now we're training them. Hey, when I step on you, I will give you good things. So then they're underfoot all the time so that we step on them more, right? We're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, are you okay? Oh, right? We're just, like, unreal amount of, are you okay? I mean, that's the image Paul's giving us here. We need to have that same mentality, but we often don't, right? Like, even if we accidentally step into someone in our own household, we might say, oh, sorry, right? We're not like, we are with the dog. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're okay. We're still friends. We're still friends. Try that the next time. How much more should we do that with persons? Right? When we've unintentionally caused them harm, just shower, and they're hurt, and we know that they're hurt, shower them with love and grace. I didn't mean to hurt you. I love you, I love you, I love you. Have a treat. Don't say have a treat. Bake them something, right? I don't know. Take them out for coffee. Take them out for dinner. He says, but that you should know the abundant love I have for you. Or it's like this. You're going to sense a theme here. I inherited a Samsung refrigerator. Rob is laughing because he doesn't know this story, but he knows where it's going. Wow. That was not picked up on the videotape, so I can't be sued for libel. So we inherited this fridge, and it's a cool fridge. It's stainless steel. It's got the double doors and the fridge down, or the freezer down on the bottom, and an ice maker and all that stuff. One of the problems with this model, and actually apparently many models, is that the drain in the back of it, because, you know, there's water and condensation and stuff, oftentimes the drain is right next to the cooling unit. And the drain is like tiny, tiny, minuscule, like they just put a thumbtack through the metal, right? Kind of that's how the drain is. So you can imagine as water's collecting there, it freezes. And when the water freezes and doesn't have a place to drain, where does it go? Oh, it goes under the meat and cheese drawer and it starts to grow and 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 grow. And you don't even know it's there because it's under the drawer until finally. After a little while, you come home and the floor is all wet and you're like, why do I have to change my socks now? What's going on? And you have to take the meat drawer out. I now have a kit for this, okay? There's a kit. I've got gloves because the water is like 33 degrees, so I can't use my bare hands because it hurts too much. There's water under. I got to take the meat and cheese drawer out. I've got to get my orange Home Depot bucket, and I've got these gloves, and I've got two big sponges, and I go and sponge, 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 and then I've got a little screwdriver and a hammer that I tap out any of the ice that's frozen down there now. Tap, 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 put that all in here, and then what plant outside needs some water? Okay, here we go, right? It's this whole thing, and I have to do it like every 3 weeks. That is why, Marley. What do you think I'm doing over there? Dude, I'm just having a party. Like, Dad's in the refrigerator with the gloves again. That's what happens when you're an adult. Oh, praise God. So, like, it is an absolute pain. But what do I do, right? Do I'm like, man, this is a fault, right? This is a structural fault in this. Do I take a sledgehammer to the thing and I'm like, I'm done with you. Do I destroy it? No, I don't. Do you know why? Because I still need a refrigerator. It still does the job, right? I don't destroy it because I still need it. It still does all the other things it's supposed to do. It just has this one thing going on in it. That's frustrating and it's annoying. It's difficult, but I don't take a sledgehammer to the whole thing. I don't, and I can't afford a new one for those of you guys who are saying, oh, buy a new one, right? What are they, like, you know? Ah, I was about to say 1,000. Okay, yeah, definitely not doing that. We're going to love this thing. How much more with people, right? If I'm over here coddling my refrigerator, which is not a person, it can't think, it can't feel, it can't do, you know, it's just a fridge. How much more with people? How much more when there's difficulties between two individuals should we go out of our way to love people the same way we love our refrigerator, that I love my refrigerator and I coddle the thing? It doesn't feel. But people do. If I'm willing to coddle my refrigerator, why not go out of my way to show an abundant love to the people that I've unintentionally hurt, and they are hurt that I've hurt them. Do you know why? I know why. I know exactly why, because this is why I've struggled with this step for a good chunk of my life, and this is why I was convicted for a good chunk of this life. Because often when I unintentionally hurt people, which I'm looking around the room now, I think I've unintentionally hurt all y'all. But when we unintentionally hurt people, you know what happens often? Is the person you unintentionally hurt turns around and intentionally hurts you, right? So what you did was not sinful, but they're hurt. So they turn around and they hurt you because, like, man, you're going to hurt me like this? I'm going to hurt you back. And we're like, whoa, I didn't mean to. So I think that's why we never make it to this step. And I think that's what happened here in this letter. Again, we don't have the full context because we're reading somebody else's private mail. Well, semi-private mail, 2,000-year-old mail. Well, we're not given the context. We'll go with that. What I think happened is Paul wrote this letter, this heartfelt letter, to get them to follow Jesus, to get them to repent of their sins, and they were hurt by it. So then there were individuals who turned around and hurt and slandered Paul and others within the church. So what does Paul say to do that? What does he say to that objection, right? Because I tell you, if I unintentionally hurt someone and they turn around and intentionally hurt me back, man, all bets are off. I'm going to justify myself. I'm going to do step one and say, hey, my intentions were pure and yours are not. That's why you're terrible. But that second part where I need to go and I need to affirm my love, well, how am I going to affirm my love for someone who just treated me like garbage intentionally? That's hard. What does Paul do? Verse 5, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused pain not so much to me, but to some degree, not to exaggerate, to all of you. This punishment by the majority is sufficient for that person. As a result, you should instead forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overwhelmed by excessive grief. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote for this purpose, to test your character, to see if you are obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I do too. For what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, it is for your benefit in the presence of Christ, so that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, Paul certainly was confronting in this letter that we don't have access to their sin. And like I said in the introduction, sometimes when we confront brothers and sisters or children in sin, it feels like a personal attack. Why? Because Satan has convinced us that sin is a fundamental part of who we are, so it feels like that personal attack. And Paul over here is saying, look, you know, I unintentionally hurt you, and this individual, he came and he intentionally hurt me, and he intentionally hurt others, he intentionally caused harm, but you know what? Forgive him. Don't let Satan have a trapdoor, backdoor way into the church, into your heart, into your life. Just let it go. Just let it go and get on with your life. It was kind of interesting. A few weeks ago, we ordered pizza, and we ordered a salad with that pizza, you know, just for show, I think. No, but it's really weird. My family's all like, yeah, let's get salad. And when they came, we didn't realize, because like Kristen made the order and I just like signed for it, right? So I didn't realize there was supposed to be a salad with it. And they forgot to bring the salad. And like our whole family was all like, what? No salad? My wife very wisely said, you know what? We're just going to let it go and move on with our lives. Just let it go and move on with our lives. That's what Paul says here. Don't let it become this whole thing. Let it go and move on with your life. So not only do we set the record straight and tell people about our good intentions when we unintentionally cause harm, but when we unintentionally cause harm, even if they've tried to retaliate, even if they've responded to that harm or hurt poorly, what do? We reaffirm our love. That's hard, but we need to do it. You guys know what this is? That is a potato masher. It's a potato masher. Kristen and I have discovered cooking together for the last, I don't know, 3 years maybe, that we make dinner together, and that's enjoyable, and we enjoy doing that together. And usually, I am the potato masher, so I'm the one who's mashing potatoes. And, you know, drain the water, you start mashing the potatoes. As soon as I am done, the second I'm done mashed potatoes, I don't throw like the sour cream and the butter and the reserve in there. No, the absolute first thing I do is I go over to the sink with this and I start washing this immediately. Why? I mean, it takes me like 15 seconds to wash this out after I'm done mashing. How long does it take me to wash it out if I wait an hour? Like 10 minutes, right? Oh, I'll just throw this in the dishwasher. It'll take care of it. No, it won't, right? Oh, I'll just soak this in water. It'll take care of it. No, it won't. I got to break out the potato masher chisel and hammer and like get the potatoes off of it. It's so much work, right? Like you guys know, like it's wisdom here. Same thing with certain pots and certain meals you make. Like you better clean that thing right now. Otherwise, it's going to harden and you're going to be there for 100,000 years scraping this off. In fact, I'm still somewhere cleaning off this potato masher. This hasn't ended. That one time I forgot to do it. Our relationships are like that. The longer you let the hurt go, the more that hurt solidifies, and the harder it is to go back and say, let's clear the air. It really is. It really is hard. That's why Paul wrote this letter immediately, it seems. I did not intend to cause you harm. My conscience is clear, and I love you. I have to tell you, working through this text, you know, I was, as I always do when I'm working through the text, is asking myself, or well, not asking myself, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit and saying, hey, what, you know, how does this text apply to me? That's the worst. Like, sometimes it's encouraging, but, you know, usually it's convicting. So I'm working through this, and man, I just, because I could remember times where, you know, I've made decisions either in the pastoral ministry or family that I've made decisions caused unintentional harm or hurt, and I'm good at number one. I'm good at saying, hey, look, my motives were pure. It's fine. You're the problem. I'm fine with that. It was easy. Let's just focus on this church. So for the almost 11 years I've been here, I was just writing down names of people who were unintentionally hurt by decisions that were made or had to be made. Not sinful decisions, nothing evil, nothing wrong as far as I'm aware. I've not made any sinful or evil decisions in leading this church in 11 years. But you have to make decisions like, you know, oh, we're going to move from Chum's Corners to Kingsley, right? You know, people were hurt by that. It wasn't intentional. We're like, we're going to move over here. So Susie has to drive farther. No, it was just like, literally, it was our only option. It absolutely was our only option. Or otherwise, we could pay triple rent. But does it cause hurt? Sure. And I was just like, there were things, I was just writing them down. And as I'm writing name after name and situation after situation down, I'm like, you know what? I'm not like this. The Holy Spirit was telling me, because I was trying to ignore him at this point as names kept and situations kept flowing through, that I've done a really good job of justifying my actions correctly. Not sin. I'm not justifying my sin. Just saying, no, this was the decision we had to make at the time. I have done a terrible job of affirming love after the fact. Sometimes it's because the person, you know, I made a decision, they weren't happy, so then, you know, I get defamed or cursed at or yelled at, you know. Right? Doesn't matter. That's what happened to Paul, and he turns around and he says, I'm going to affirm my love for you anyways. I'm going to affirm my love in Christ Jesus. I'm going to affirm my love because we've trusted in Christ, and for those who have trusted in Christ, we've all been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are dwelled by the Holy Spirit, so as we prayed that we have unity, we need to have unity. I've done a terrible job of affirming love. Really good job at justifying my decisions. When we unintentionally cause hurt, we need to explain our good intentions. But far more importantly, we need to affirm our love. And you're probably going to need the help of God, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ to do that at that point. But you need to affirm that love. Don't let the hurt harden. The longer you let it go, the harder it is to get off. Don't let the hurt harden. Let's pray. Father, help us to have the attitude of Paul, who loved flawed people, loved people who hurt him back so deeply, and he chose not to give up. Father, I pray for us that you will help us to follow Christ more closely. I pray when we cause unintentional harm that you will give us the wisdom and insight to be humble and go to others, that you will give us the love to love others who might not have responded well. Father, help us to live that out in our homes with our families. Help us to live that out in our places of work and places of volunteer. Help us to live that out in our neighborhoods. Help us to to live that out in our extended families. Help us to live that out here at the church. Father, I openly confess that I've done really good on the number one, but on the most important thing, the affirming love, I have not. So I pray, Father, that through our brokenness, through my brokenness, through our missteps, through this moment that that you had Paul record for Holy Scripture, that going forward you will help us to be a people who affirm our love for each other. We can't do this on our own, so we ask for the help of God, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, and it is in his name we pray.